Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Mark Matheson is an infectious disease strategist and the founder of Matheson Global, a consulting firm specializing in healthcare. And Mark also is the co-author of a report published last week that's getting a lot of attention. He spent nearly 20 years with Abbott Labs. Mark, good morning. How are you doing today?
Hey, good, Bob. Great to be with you.
I want to know, first of all, you're an infectious disease strategist. We hear a lot about that today, but have people like you been strategizing about infectious diseases long before this pandemic?
Well, I could say for other diseases, sure. Hepatitis, HIV, and other really deadly diseases we try to stay in front of. But this is a novel virus, and we really had to kind of act on our feet. But I will say, Dr. Michael Osterholm, who's the founder of the University of Minnesota Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy, has been at this for nearly 30 years. And so I guess it depends on how you look at it, but I would say, yeah, we've always looked at the next coming virus.
I know you're big on testing accuracy, but what else do we need to do to get out of this current situation?
Well, most people, epidemiologists, would look at this and say there's four main things that a society can do to emerge from a pandemic. The first is to have what's called herd immunity, which is where roughly 70% or above have exposed to the virus. The second is a vaccine. The third is therapy. And then the fourth is testing. And so we really can't control the first three, nor would we want to. So we've reflexed down to testing. But obviously, all the things that you just mentioned a couple minutes ago about distancing and being responsible, because all it's going to take is one bad apple for us to end up really compromising all the sacrifices we've made over the last number of months.
We hear a lot about testing, how important it is, and questions about the accuracy. Where do you stand on that?
So what a lot of people don't understand is that there's actually four different tests for COVID. So right now, there's nearly about 100 manufacturers have received what's called emergency use authorization, or EUA, from the FDA. But within that, there's only four main tests. The first is for RNA, which is really the guts of the virus, if you will. Then there's viral testing, and then there are different antibody testing, IgM, which is an acute antibody, and the final is IgG. The point is, a smart testing policy or strategy tests you for the right thing at the right time with the right person. And so I guess, Bob, what I would tell you is that accuracy is almost secondary. If people don't use the right test at the right time with the right patient, accuracy is somewhat irrelevant. But I will say that, you know, there are some concerns about accuracy and what we would call sensitivity or specificity. But overall, the testing platforms are sound. A lot of them are just being used incorrectly with the wrong people at the wrong time, which is causing a lot of anxiety.
So what do we need to do to straighten that out? And by the way, I'm very confused when I hear these numbers of positive tests, because, first of all, are those accurate numbers? And second of all, if a state sees a spike in numbers, is that just because there's more testing? It's hard to sort that out, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. And that's why Dr. Osterholm and I and several other peers put out this report last week, and was really adopted by the Washington Post on Sunday on their editorial page, which says that this is what's most critical. There's no standard in the country for how to report a positive result. There's no trace contact tracing, which is trying to figure out who the cascade is of people you may or may not have come in contact with. So until the federal government or some other authoritative branch of the government steps in and says, here's how we're going to do it, you hit the nail on the head, Bob. We're going to end up with results that seem very, very confusing to a lot of your listeners and to the public in general. So we just want to advocate for a standard way of reporting and for a standard way of doing testing, and to hold the manufacturers who've received this really special. And it is very, very rare, you know, in my 20 years in the business to receive this many emergency use authorizations is really unprecedented. And so with great, you know, with great privilege comes great responsibility. And so there should be a standardized across the board way to report positives, to trace the positive results, and to ensure that people aren't infecting themselves. So until that happens, you're going to see exactly what you articulated, is very different results going, very fluctuating over, you know, weeks or months. And we need to get that sorted out ASAP so that the public understands.
I read your piece in the Post, and if I have this right, you're arguing for a big campaign so that we can test more widely, and we need far greater capacity. And it sounded like something that the president is doing with the vaccines and his Operation Warp Speed project. Is what you're arguing for a campaign like that from the government about testing?
I would say standardization, and more than anything, a strategy. So the paper does not advocate for everybody to go and get tested. In fact, quite the opposite. We're only at, you know, low teens in terms of total national capacity for what we need to do testing the right way. So in the absence of having this massive amount of capacity, what we really need is to use the tests that we have in the most appropriate way possible. And so that is what's key, because these tests are very valuable. And that's, you know, some of the arguments made by people about professional sports leagues or what have you restarting and quarantining and testing players and all that kind of stuff. Just remember this, every time anyone is tested, that's a test that's not going to somebody else who could be gravely ill. And so that is the biggest challenge we're facing. We don't have enough tests. We have people using the tests in an inappropriate way. And we don't want to test everybody. We need to be testing the people who need it and under the right circumstances. So until we get there, this is really a calamity of errors, if you will.
And finally, we all just have to be together on this. We talk to a lot of medical people and doctors, and when I ask the question, other countries that have done well with this, is there a common thread? What have they done? And the answer is always, yeah, it hasn't been about politics. It's really been about health. That's what we need
100%.
To do, isn't it? Yeah.
100%. Dr. Osterholm said it best on Meet the Press, that this issue is going to be resolved through science, not through politics. And unfortunately, and this is one of the things that I consult with a lot of businesses on, is that we're facing kind of a difficult time because it's an election year.
Yeah.
And I mean no disrespect to the politicians out there, but, you know, we all know that the election will likely be won or lost on a handful of states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Florida. And so when those states want to do certain things like reopen, you have to ask yourself, is this really in the best public health sense, or is this because it's grandstanding, if you will? You know what I mean?
Yep. We need to talk again, Mark. Mark Matheson, infectious disease strategist, founder of Matheson Global, a consulting firm specializing in healthcare. Appreciate your insights, Mark. Have a great day and stay healthy.
Thanks, Bob. You too, and God bless. Take care.